Well, we're not necessarily in order the way we live on these streets, but the people that live on these streets. Okay, and then we got Brown, and I don't remember his first name, but his daughter was Miss Ashley. But his Brown was Brown Milling Company. They ran the milling company downtown. The building is still down there. I tell you, Frank, he bought the building, and his wife runs a ceramic shop in that building. Now, are you familiar with ceramics themselves here in this? But anyway, she runs a ceramic shop in that. It's a tall building. You can see it across Belmont Bridge, is on to the right. You probably, it's a tall little building. That is Brown Milling Company. Purchased and renovated completely because it's an old house. And it's the young man lived down our street, he bought it recently. And he was able to turn it off to renovate. He can't change the outside because on his historic landmark, they will not let you touch the outside. You can, you know, keep it up, but you can't change it. There's one right over here. Yeah. I'll let the students go in there, just look at it, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Now, it's two Brown, Jay White Brown. He was a Brown, a little on this street. Jay White Brown. And then it was Gleason, and this must have been the father of the Pope and Emmett Gleason. He lived on this street. And he relates to the lady that used to be on City Council. What's her name? She was a Gleason, too.
Beth
Gleason. Beth Gleason, I hope. Yeah. No, that was just Dr. Gleason's wife. It was another Gleason. She had a husband that smoked the pipe, smelled so good.
She was on
City Council. Mm-hmm. I think she was on City Council one time. Because Beth Gleason, that's Carl's wife, that's Hope's son's wife.
Right.
I knew her very well. Ed Mixon's father. You know Ed Mixon?
Yeah.
I knew that Ed Mixon Jr., I guess, that he lived on this street too. Now, my niece and her husband lives in the Mixon home. It's a beautiful home, inside and out. They bought the old Mixon home place. And that's why Eugene Williams is. You know him, you know him. Everybody knows him. Now, the next one is Colby. Now, this is Mr. Colby on the Victor Shoe Show. Him and his wife on the Victor Shoe Show, and he did income tax for people. And he had a daughter named, we call her Miss Tillis. She married a Miller. And Miss Tillis still won that Victor Shoe Show. Do you know where that is?
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Oh, you know, so she's
yeah.
Been out for years.
She's the one who runs it.
She runs it now. She still runs it. But people just going to speak to Miss Tillis because she's been so nice to the neighborhood. She used to tell my father, and her father was high black, high cut shoes, like policemen used to wear.
Yeah.
And he had a foot about a 14. The biggest black shoes you ever seen. I'm talking to that. Okay. Now that was the Cobra. And I said, no, Miss Tilly, okay. Wheeler. Now, my Wheeler's a real estate dude. They're real estate dude, I know. Harry Wheeler and Roy Wheeler, but these are his our people that live on this street. And I think they've been real estate ever since I can remember. And Harry Wheeler, he died sometimes ago. He had a nice place down on Stony Point Road.
I don't remember
Harry. Mm-hmm. He's been dead, I guess, in 10 or 15, maybe more than that.
Well, how was he related to Roy?
I think they were brothers, if I'm not mistaken.
Ernest.
Ernest. Well, Harry may not have been that kinsman, but anyway, this. The Wheelers that lived in that house on this street.
Mm-hmm.
Next to where the Ferguson funeral home is.
Yeah.
And Ross Young, and I got him in the list as unknown. I knew he lived there, and I knew he was. I don't know what he did.
Mm-hmm.
He was kind of a vagabond type fella. He did a lot of residence, you know, he knows about it. So he's the only one on this street that ever, that he would say that about his resort. So he just never did get us that together, like, you know, his resort, you know, but he had a family there. That's the way, as you come up that little ramp, house on your right hand side, as you get to the top of that little ramp, and the upright, he next to that, but then he almost knew the upright because he was a big people. The upright was a brickyard man. Now, you ever done an upright brickyard? No, you didn't know this. That's over what they call Fife here. He used to make bricks over there. For the brickyard, and he had fields all dried of bricks and all that. That was in my time, since I remember. That goes down early in the late of 30s, I guess, so they didn't make no bricks after that, I don't think. But they sold a lot of bricks over there. Now, get back to the one I told you, the football for the Roosevelt Brown. They bought a place way up on Reed Street up there, just where you get to where the greasers were. Now, that house, I'm still not listening. It's historic because he's not historic. And I don't remember who lived with the last one. I knew he lived with Roosevelt Brown. Thank you. Is this me? Oh, okay. Well, that's me. God touch, I hope. Not helping. Oh, okay, that's all. Now, the next one was the Rector Crossing, where Ferguson's funeral home was up on this street. We used to film with two Dutch girls. The two Dutch ladies, we used to sit on our porch, cleaning our porch, and they were the first porch on the street. We used to have their little cap. And I don't know why they call them Dutch girls, but that's all I ever know. And I don't know where they ever worked or what they did, but all I ever seen them do was they were cleaning that porch and keeping that porch clean.
They're kind of half-dutch.
A little Dutch hats, I guess. They said that since they were.
You know, old Dutch country.
Oh, yeah, that's exactly right, exactly. That's why they call them little Dutch girls, I guess. But they weren't girls, they were ladies, you know. Okay, now the cooks, they were the last white family on the other side of the street.
On the west side of the street.
So now we're going to get to the black families. Now there was a fellow by the name of Payne, and he was a yard man. You know, did cutting grass and stuff. He was Jim Payne. Not the Jim Payne around the barber shop. There's another. His name was James Payne.
He was a nice old guy.
He worked up. Well, that's probably what he cut grass. He would trim hedges and stuff. Well, that's probably what he came up. He lived on this street.
He taught me how to do poke drilling.
Was that?
In my yard.
Uh-huh.
And he would always ask if he could take some, and I'd say, yeah. Finally, he said, you're a class and he's a
cat. Mm-hmm.
I think he can never think.
I used to love those things without a crack, maybe even now, the same one I was. We called pokes on it. Yeah. My mother used to boil the stuff and then drain it off, and then the boiler some money, put it in a pan, break the egg in it, and slam the egg into the pokes on it. It was delicious. But I can't eat it now. I've tried. It's all around us here, just loads of it in the spring of the year. But I can't eat it. The same old, and nobody else will eat it.
What were you saying about one thing?
He was a yard man. I was actually listening as a yard man.
And
he was
on the house number, do you?
No, I don't. I really don't. But he was on the on this side of Wood Street, and on the east side of Wood Street. So the second house after passed, third house after passed the corner of Langford Avenue. So the old house on the corner of Langford Avenue, and I don't know who owned it. I never did know. And further back up on Ridge Street was a lady owned the house up there, right at a dice and a stair, and I didn't know her name except her name, Miss Lottie. Everybody called her Miss Lottie. And she used to sit on the porch, and she would, anybody passed by, she'd come to the whiskey store. She'd get up kind of whiskey, she'd come back and sit on the porch and drink it. But anyway, Miss Lottie took care of them things. Nobody didn't bother nobody. Nobody bothered her. So I guess Miss Lottie did what she wanted to do. That's probably what she was. Then we had the Carringtons, and these are black families all now that I'm living. Carringtons, Mitchells, and Currys. Now the Currys owned a big house there on the corner that they condensed and painted up there. Now the students condensed and painted. We got big signs up there. You might have noticed. Now that's the Curry problem. Now that's studio there for years and years. They raised the family, grandchildren, and everything in that big house. The last one died recently, and her name is Miss Manley. She's a Miss Manley. And the rock wall that you notice as you go to here, when they cut the hill down, the hill you see like this, they cut it down so they left the wall kind of sitting on its reputation. Every once in a while the rocks are falling down. I ran over the valley for the past station. I should have sued the city because they didn't have a big reading it up there like that.
That's funny, it was on that to be coming
down. See that wall just hanging up there by it's on its reputation, that's all. And Mr. Cruz, he promised her that before she died, he was going to fix that wall for him. He hadn't touched it yet. I'm going to get him there. I'm going to get him there. And he will not touch me. But you know, that's half what's wrong with Charleston. You get people that don't know anything about the city, that are unique, quiet, quiet. You know, the quality of the city of Charleston and the streets and homes and things like that. They don't know anything about it. Now, we got past there on the avenue of the Green West Side Center. Now, that's the truth. He does not know anything about Charlottesville, but he pretends to know everything. And you find people like that. What I'm talking about, I shouldn't say that to you. You say, well, that's all right. Let us say that. That's all right. It's the truth. Okay. Then there's a fellow by the name of Moose. And he was Moose who sold this stuff there. And right next to this little store was a fellow named Moose. And he lived right there. He bought the That's on the, on the west side of this street. Mm-hmm. And Holmes was Robert Holmes. And he was related to the Carries that I just mentioned, you know, the Carries and so forth. And he was on the corner on the left hand side. We had Carries family lived on the right and the Holmes lived on the left side of the door to here. Okay. Anna Lewis. She was a widow when I can remember. She was her nephew, somebody used to look after her when she was passed. And there was a Curry, Isaac Curry. He was not related to the other Curries, but he lived on the west side. And Annie Bynum, she lived on the east side of this street. Thomas Lynn was on the east side. James Henley, he worked for Frank Eastman Company, and he was a working in the
Hoopsmill
Road.
These people on
Hoopsmill Road. Now, these are Ridge Street. Now, this is the black on the Ridge Street. Artie Ward, he was quite a man here. He raised hogs and he gets to the doctor. He wanted for animals. He didn't need to take it except the dogs and the doctor said he had no things they done to. He takes care of them for you. How did he get away with it? I don't know, but it was legal. He did it legally. Nobody questioned it. And there was Ellen Gordon. There was a preacher lived right there. Right across from where Otto Warden. And Molly Burden. The real little Molly Burden. Molly's mother. They got to be Molly because Molly was stupid. They said to walk his shoes. They want to put on one side shoes all on the other. They were Molly. And, biggest liar in town. Always coming with a whole lot of stringing. He grew in his garden, he didn't grow in his garden, he didn't have no garden. He said that. Junior Faulkman, he was a guy that would pick up stuff and haul trash and stuff for people. Mary Carter, she did laundry work for a lady up on 10th Street years ago. She had a little kind of home laundry. And Parker Sellers. And she's Pocahontas Sellers, and they lived on the east side of Bridge Street. And Van Burke, she's the last one on the right, on the west side of Bridge Street, the last black family. Now, Harris Salter, I skipped over him going, so I'll come back to here. Harris Salter and Laura Hicks, and the Woods, they're all on the west side of Bridge Street. That's it, as far as the people that lived on the street. Ridge Street was one of the nicest streets in Charlottesville. Ridge Street could compare to any street you know in Charlottesville at that time. Straight, smooth, and wide. You know most streets in Charlottesville now. Ridge Street was wide and well kept. And that's why it was a pleasure to drive Ridge Street. You cross the bridge and hit Ridge Street. you're on your own on those. So there's just a beautiful piece of art.
You don't know when they first paved it.
No, that was paved when I was first came to Salisbury.
It was a street between half a good street.
Well, they paved it more last year, more than. I'll tell you, the only street I know that was not paved was Hardin. I mean, Big Street wasn't paved. I know you know where Big Street was. Big Street went no down the hill by the Gleason. But that one wasn't paved, and Hardin Road wasn't paved. And the Stella Street for the now, they still got Big Street, they're still not paved properly. That's Marksville Street and the Metal Street that Mr. Harmon lives on. I don't think that's where they'll pay, but Mr. Harmon's a well-known man. He plays music for the churches, for weddings, and things like that. He plays all around the universe and everywhere. And he plays all the music, all the music. Now, he didn't live on this street, and I didn't mention because he's off this street. And I didn't mention, but he did not. His father lived there, and also there's a photographer there in town that used to, where's the man who took my picture for you? The studio downtown. Not Harmon, what's the other one? You don't remember? But anyway, he had a studio downtown. He took pictures, beautiful pictures. One of the best photographers in town.
Well, one thing I want to find out about is, the White family lived on Rick Street to a certain point. And you said Roosevelt Bounds family was there.
Well, Roosevelt Bounds was the first one that moved up into the white neighborhood mostly. But then Roosevelt had got into that big money, you know, and he could afford, they could afford to buy it there, but otherwise nobody else could afford to buy it there. When Roosevelt got into football, then began to make good money, so he could buy what he wanted almost. You know.
Now, Putnam Mills. Putnam
Hill
Road was all
Putnam Hill, right? No, it's been more integrated. Mm-hmm. The lower part of it was more integrated because we had families down by the name of Bishop. Bishop was down there, and then several other, the Harmon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the name of the studio, the Harmon Studio downtown, that's one. Mm-hmm. He lived down by it. But then the Harmons, the Bishop, the Nelson, and There's still white families on Hardin Road down there. First man knew was another person. The six I like, he's left person for the county. You know it. He's not a Nelson. You know, six is, he's left a hero here. She can't think of it right now, but anyway, he lives down there now. Mm-hmm.
How about the other streets coming off of Wood Street?
Langford Avenue.
Is that
it? That's before you get here.
Well,
Langford Avenue has never been really integrated. It's been black most of the time. It's still got way down to First Street. And way down to First Street is a big house that in the end of Langford Avenue was white.
Mm-hmm.
And then coming back, First Street this way is white. Going back towards the cemetery, you know, Oakwood Cemetery. There's two whites, and that was the only white in that area. And so then there was no two avenues. We were not on this side of town. But, that way in, up in the, in the 50s, that's right. But you see, then there's those two white families that lived down there on First Street. But see, First Street did in, it didn't come into Hardin, it comes into Hardin and Mill now, but it didn't then. We didn't put those housing projects down there.
Yeah.
And well, that's what they wanted, to take all our property. We own those 4 acres across the street. My son and I together, we own those 4 acres across the street. That's vacant except for the house that you see there. And they wanted to take up public housing. So we rejected that because the Nimmo family, which is white, here down below us, they had a big farm down in there just to join our property. And they had their own cemetery, their own private cemetery. So Mrs. Nelson, who her husband's a lawyer too, I believe, Penny Nelson is his wife's name, she was a Nimmo.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a cemetery, their family cemetery, and so the family cemetery there. And we had a lawyer, and the lawyer, I tell you who worked with us, was Tucker, the Richmond lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
And they blocked it on account of the Nimmo. They wouldn't buy the Nimmo cemetery. They didn't, so they just dropped it completely, but they'd gone through and bought up property. or the back part of the problem. We wouldn't sell the back of our problem. See, our problem was about 660 feet. And so they wanted to leave us with 150 feet and take all the rest. But we wouldn't sign for it. But you know what they offered for? $1,800. That's all they offered for. And the reason why, because when I bought that extra lot over, I only paid $300 for it. 660 feet deep and 91 feet 4 inches wide. And the same thing with the house, you know. And I paid $1,000 for the house and $300 for the lot was made, and paid $1,300 for the total property that I have on that. So it's pretty well to say that you didn't pay anything for it, you're not going to do anything for it.
You have about 2 acres.
Yeah, at least 2 acres. We got most of my son bought the back part of the other property that they bought, he bought it, because of landlocked.
Well, that was a huge thing up in the 1970s.
That's right, exactly.
There was a lot of stuff in the east.
Oh, a whole lot. Remember, you know who was representing the city was John Battle Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And you remember John Battle Jr. when he was governor. You remember the governor. Okay, well, his son was representing the city. And Dave Wood, I think, was representing the city to a certain extent. And we had Perkins, Lawyer Perkins. Is he still there?
Yeah, he's still alive.
Okay, he was a nice guy. And also, rest of the Tucker of Richmond, he represented that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, in other words, we won the case against the city for that. And
the city wanted to condemn that property.
Well, on the eminent domain. And the eminent domain was to give you nothing.
They weren't going to take the numerous property.
No, they couldn't take that property. They had the cemetery there. They didn't want to take it on the kind of cemetery.
They didn't want
to take
yours.
They took it out of it, not that. That's right, nothing. I want to give it to him. But fortunately, we were lucky enough not to have to do it. Now, what we did, just to say the difference, we offered that property over there to Dr. Hill. So Dr. Hill, we looked at the property for $99,000 plus a percentage of the rent where you get from the building that you put up for a certain number of years. He said, I have to give you $99,000, I won't give you no percentage. So I said, you know, they'll sell it to you.
Tell me what's going to happen to that
land. What's going to happen to it?
Yeah.
I turned over to my $2 and my son.
Uh-huh.
We don't own anything. Right now, I don't own anything.
Mm-hmm.
We give that to the $2 and the son, and over here, we give this dollar to my daughter that lives with her.
Mm-hmm.
And
but there's nothing built on it.
On this property?
Not
but the home place where we were, where the children were raised. So you know the house of the rest across from here.
That's my shop.
That's my shop,
huh? But you got a lot of other land over
there. Oh, it's land all around that place. It's a big size on the land.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, it's close to 3 acres of land in there, I think.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But anyway,
Now, do you have any questions you want me to get into that?
You can walk me in the street and run for your faith. That's the truth.
Well, just wanted me to ask you about the sidewalks. Or the sidewalks along Ridge Street that you first remembered?
The bulk of Ridge Street had sidewalks. Now, when you got it to the black area, there's still no sidewalks, I don't believe. I don't think that's where it was in. Now, even now.
Where the tree is down in the street.
Different trees, huh?
You know how they're all in Park Street?
Yeah, very much like that.
Is it like that on this street?
Mostly, You see that, where the Browns live, that there's a very huge, giant oak tree. And a beautiful tree. That thing grew down and just missed the house. But a lot of trees like that, they cut down a lot of trees and cut them back, you know, with the, for the telephone, you know, the left telephone today. That's the time they cut them back way back. So they ruined a lot of trees like that. Mm-hmm. But anyway, are they doing that on Park Street now too? I believe that has a little objection to it.
We have all kinds of places. Tell me, did you see, say, in the late 30s, early 40s, what's on vehicles?
Yes, indeed. For these roots here, somebody named John Robinson had a team of mules.
Mm-hmm.
He used to go and plow people's garden with them.
Mm-hmm.
He couldn't hear very well, and he lived in the house right across the way back to his landmark. After Miss Dolly, the white lady lived there, after she moved there, she died, and he moved in the house after she moved out.
Mm-hmm.
Sue Anderson come from the Nimmo family. But anyway, he had a team of mules, and also Artie Ward, he's had a one-horse wagon. He'd go around and pick up garbage with all three of the universities to feed hogs, you know. You ever know anything about that? The people would save garbage in the garbage can, and he'd go in and empty the garbage can twice a week and feed it to his hogs. And you'd even see those from the finest hogs you ever seen, I believe.
I understand that. Hogs
is in the city of Yeah, no, but you see, they couldn't have anything one of them do now. They have to cook it. If you don't use garbage, they have to cook it. And so it don't matter, raise hogs in the row. When I first came to Calgary, I used to raise hogs over there. I was one of the prettiest hogs you ever seen. I put them down to the livestock market on the back of a truck, sell them. And you know they had
to raise them over
there. Many as I wanted, but many as I couldn't. One guy over there had a real Tamworth hog, had a whole field for the hogs over there. They didn't buy you, but then we got to the point that you couldn't keep hogs in the city then. You can't even raise chickens in the city limit now. We used to have Gordon Bannon, little Bannon chickens. They get in the cedar tree over there, and in the morning, we had our guests, they'd sit the Bannon chickens. So we didn't do anything, we didn't eat them. We would eat the eggs, but we wouldn't eat the chickens. And so they'd just mortify, and everyone wanted Bannon, him going to steal an ass, and come in with 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 chickens sometime, and they'd go up, and they'd go up in there, in the cedar tree, and in the morning, when they hit the ground fighting. But again, by then, they were coin and fighting. So I was in jail, and I told you.
So, the two chapters took in jail.
I kept them in. And after a while, they said, you can't raise chickens.
Did you
keep a milk cow? No, but my wife's father had a milk cow right next door. We always had a cow, and always had hogs next door.
And did any of the people down here have horses on their property?
There's a man born in Maine, that's for James Henry, who I play with. He's a horse, and he had his town ponies too. And my brother-in-law had one of those specifically ponies, you know, the big ponies. So, but James Henry used to have these little settling-like ponies. They weren't settling ponies, had a long tail, but he didn't have a long tail. But he used to have a little pony cart, he'd let the children ride up and down the street with little pony carts, you know. But it was a lot of fun.
And now, tell me this. In Petersburg, I remember in the summertime, especially on Saturday, people would come in with a horse and a wagon full of vegetables, sell them on the street. And they'd go in, pile of watermelons, fresh tomatoes, strawberries.
Now, I can bring up the data on that right in Fallowfield, because you ever heard of the trading ground?
Yeah.
You know where they built a parking garage downtown on Water Street?
Yeah.
Now the trading ground was there. The farmers used to bring, in the early days, the folks from the trucking thing, they brought the produce in town in wagons. And they brought animals, trade horses and all that kind of stuff. And vegetables like green beans, tomatoes, corn, watermelon, all that stuff. Bring them and stand right down the street on the trading ground and sell people come in and buy the stuff just like you go to the farmer's market. Now they go to $40 farmer's market. And all that produce is traded right there. And once a month, on the first Monday in the month, they have what they call Code Day. And that was the day that the farmers would come into town to trade horses, cattle, goats, sheep, whatever they had they want to trade or what they want to sell. Now my father and his uncle, they used to get horse traded. They said my Uncle Tucker, he used to buy those four horses, you know, and he'd give them baking soda. Make them blow up, you know, to look like a sap. Take his hose. 2 days later, he had a skinny old horse. But there was all kind of tricks and that kind of stuff, you know. And then you look at a horse, see, and tell how old he was. My father opened the first thing and he said, how old is the horse? He said, and I said, well, he's 4 years old. They up look at his teeth. He's more than 4 years old. He's about 10 years old. He could tell by looking at the teeth. There's so many cups they had in the trees that you would tell.
So that trading took place where the new parking garage.
Is that a parking garage in there? What was called on Water Street? They called it the coat line, they called it. And even back before then, there's a lady that's living in Southfield right now that her mother was sold off the block right down there on Water Street. Sold to somebody. Yeah, I'm sorry, somewhere anyway. Her name is Ms. McGinnis. Quinton is his name. Rebecca McGinnis. You sure have seen in the paper not too long ago. One oldest black woman in Charleston, I believe. And anyway, her mother was sold off the block. You know, they put them on the block and mm-hmm. you walk around looking. She looked like a pretty good old. Well, that's the same way you look at a horse. You look at a horse, look like a pretty good horse. He was sold as all right, he gets sold as a rabbi. And
that
was right off of Water Street. Mm-hmm. There was a big wide open space there. Well, I'll tell you what else was there. You know when the freight depot used to be there?
Yeah.
The railroad come out of the road and travel. Well, and all that was combined in one. The freight department and the trading ground was all in one location. They had a town where the water would go out there to ride the horse up and just drink water to the running fountain.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was in pretty good order there. And those people from down Buck Island, you ever heard of Buck Island? Well, anyway,
they're
not going down that way. They drive the horses up here with loads of watermelon and all the produce. They drive a horse away and they started 4 days in the morning, get up here about 9 or 10 o'clock, and then they go back and get home by dark.
Did they travel right from Ridge Street or Park Street?
No, they right from the trading ground. I said, if they drove right into the area, they would still right from the wagon.
They wouldn't drive through
neighborhoods. Not as much then, because it was